This man was much like us, though born at a different time and a different place. This man would soon have his normal life radically changed. This man was about to embark on a career path that he would have never chosen for himself in his wildest dreams. His name is Peter, the Apostle Peter, the Peter of the Bible, one of Jesus' disciples. Peter and his brother Andrew were both fishermen. Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 9:5 that Peter was married, and there's discussion as to whether or not that was at the time that Peter began to follow Christ. I'm not real sure. Peter's name is mentioned in the Gospels more than any other name except Jesus' name. Peter actually speaks out more than the other disciples, and Jesus speaks more often to him, to Peter, than he does of the other disciples. Our Lord frequently rebukes Peter more than any other of the disciples. Peter's the only disciple that actually rebuked our Lord. Yet Peter is always listed first in the list of the 12 apostles. Isn't that just like God? Amazing. Peter would go on to serve the Church of Jesus Christ as one of the key leaders in the early church. Peter, he was the first apostle to preach to the Jews on Pentecost. And he was the first apostle to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Peter defended the inclusion of the Gentiles or the non-Jews into the Christian church at the Apostolic Council in Jerusalem. And then on top of all that, God inspired him to write the first and second epistle of Peter and to have an influence on the book of Mark, or the Gospel of Mark. So tonight's message, it'll be brief, it'll be more devotional in nature. It'll be Peter's encounter with Christ. That's what being a Christian is. We've come and we've faced, we've engaged, we've encountered the living God. So when Peter got out of bed this one particular morning, he had no idea his life was about to take a 180 turn that would never be the same. I think we can think back of days where something happened historically. We now know it's in the providence of God. Our life was never the same. It was changed. Sometimes for the good, other times not so. Our first point is Peter's call by Jesus in Matthew 4:18-20. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they immediately left their nets and followed him. Now, like their father, Peter, along with Andrew, his brother, they were fishermen. But here on this typical day, we see Peter working as a fisherman, simply making a living. And in the plan and the providence of God, Peter was about to meet Jesus face to face on this new day. And it's on this day, Jesus simply tells Peter and Andrew, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, what in the world caused these independent fishermen to listen to Jesus and actually obey his command and actually follow him? Why would they leave their down-to-earth livelihood and follow Jesus to become a fisher of men? Well, clearly, Peter had not been schooled to be a teacher or a communicator, as the Sanhedrin freely acknowledged in Acts 4:13. They say, when they saw Peter and John, it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, and they marveled. And they realized Here's the answer. They had been with Jesus. They had encountered Jesus. That made the difference. But Peter and all the other disciples were called by the second member of the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ calls, his sheep really do. They really hear his voice. And they're made willing in the day of his power. This irresistible love of Christ is what drew Peter and the other disciples to the Lord of glory. And so it is today. Christ continues to call dead sinners like you and me to follow him, to follow eternal life. Now on another day, Peter would answer a very important question that many in Jesus' day didn't know, and many today still don't know the answer. Peter declares Christ. In Matthew 16, verses 13 through 17, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And so they said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say Elijah, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, always the first to answer. And he said, "Well, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." We're talking about a divine revelation. Clearly, Peter and the other disciples were divinely called by the Lord Jesus, for this relationship with Christ did not come of their own heritage, their religious upbringing necessarily, or their education, nor did it come from their darkened, dead, so-called free will. We got a generation that worships man's free will, and it'll march them right off into hell. Free will never saved anybody. As Jesus was revealing himself in Peter's call, the Father was revealing to Peter who Jesus was. This Christian life and relationship with God Almighty comes only by the divine revelation. You can meet with your pastor. You can meet with some holy men. You can read a bunch of good books. You can go off to some conference. That will not do you one bit of good unless you come in contact with the living Lord Jesus Christ. It is he and he alone that saves men and women, boys and girls. You see, I believe that the Christian life, it's a relationship with God Almighty. And it comes only by divine revelation. And that's exactly why the American church is in the mess that is in at this very hour. There's wholesale numbers that have never seen or experienced the glory of Christ. Nor has the gospel been revealed to them. Many are just goats who live somewhat of a religious life, but have no power. They have no power to overcome fleshly desires, this present evil world, or the forces of darkness. If Christ has been revealed to you in the gospel, oh, thank the Lord, you have eternal life. And that life is in him alone. Now, little did Peter know that on this day, another day, he would walk a walk that would defy the laws of nature. Number three, Peter steps out in faith. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, this is just like Jesus, and he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. There's your example of how you need to live your life. And then when the evening came, he was alone there. But the boat, it was out in the middle of the sea. and it was being tossed by the waves, for the wind was boisterous, it was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. He's a grown, rough, tough fisherman. They said, it is a ghost. And they cried out with fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Boy, that's just like Jesus. How many times did he have to tell them over and over again, do not be afraid? And Peter answered him, said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, that is Jesus, come. And when Jesus came out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw that the wind was boisterous, this is Peter, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, said, oh Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, and he caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt? Isn't that just like us? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those that were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, certainly this setting on a darkened night in the middle of a troubled sea clearly reveals the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here the disciples have been put in a boat by Jesus, but he was not with them. And added to their concern, Christ not being with them, the storm came up. Now, how can it get worse? Then they see what they think is a ghost. But once Jesus speaks to them, they know that it is the Lord. And Jesus commands Peter to leave the boat, and he walks on the water toward Jesus, defying God's laws of nature, or natural laws, I should say. But keep in mind, as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, it was okay. But Peter, like many of us, he was distracted by the storm around him, and he began to sink into the dark waters. But remember, when Jesus calls, we will not fail. When we find ourselves sinking, it is then that we call out to him. Our loving Lord will reach out his sovereign hand and save us. I think each one of us can give a testimony of that as we look back over our lives and we think of the times that we were spared, the times that the Lord delivered us. It seems sometimes just in the nick of time, but we know that it's in his perfect timing. And in the day of the Lord, when we'll see all things, there will be many more of those stories that we never knew of. The Lord had his hand on us all along. He had his eye. He's got his eye on the sparrow. He's surely going to keep his eye on us. Once they were safely in the boat with him and the storm subsides, we, like his disciples, will worship him. Time and time again, Jesus proves himself as God the Son, the one who always has his eye upon us. I was telling a little 3-year-old great-grandson the other day, Porter, I was telling him, and I said, Porter, you know, God's always seeing you. He's all around. He said, you mean I can't hide from him? I said, no. And he put a blanket over his head. You mean... now can he see me? I said, no, no matter what you do, you can crawl under your bed and he can still see you. I think the light came on just a little bit. We'll keep working on that. Oh Lord, forgive our unbelief. Well, let's talk about another day. When Peter was about to experience this glorious day, it would propel him to finish the race that he was in victoriously. Number 4, Peter is overwhelmed at the transfiguration. In Matthew 17, verses 1 through 4, and after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured, that is, Christ was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah had appeared to them, talking with him. And then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. And if you wish, we can make three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Well, Peter and the disciples had already experienced many signs, wonders, and miracles being with Christ. But this transfiguration of the Lord Jesus gloriously outshined all those other experiences. They saw his glory shining out. It wasn't a reflective glory like our moon and sun. It was shining through him. Because we know he never ceased, as we talked about this morning, he never ceased to be God. Peter would see the metamorphosis of Christ, or his glory shining through his body. And befuddled, Peter comes up with the idea of making three booths, one for Moses and Elijah and Christ, which made no sense. And you had to read all the other gospel accounts, and you can see how confused he was. Plus, in his confusion, what he was sort of doing was he was equating Moses, Elijah, and Christ as one. But God the Father steps in and sets the record straight. God the Father powerfully, audibly speaks from heaven to Peter, James, and John and telling them, you listen to Christ, hear him. This revelation experience would remain with Peter throughout his life, and it's mentioned later in his book, 2 Peter 1:16 through 21. Listen to Peter as he recounts this later. He said, now, we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We received from God the Father honor and glory when we heard such a voice come to him from the excellent glory. And he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And we heard his voice, which came down from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we had the prophetic word confirmed, which to you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. On another day, Peter would make a promise that he couldn't keep. Promise that he couldn't keep. He makes a bold confession in Mark 14:27-31. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. And Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he, Peter, spoke all the more vehemently. He said, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. It's almost like Peter said, you know, these guys may deny you, but I'm not going to. No, sir. Yes, Peter was bold and he was impetuous. He was a man of action. And no doubt Peter really meant what he said. He didn't want to deny the Lord. And he probably really meant that he would die for the Lord. But Peter, like us, he underestimated his own weakness and ability to remain faithful. Sure enough, Peter denies Christ three times, just as the Lord had said. For it is by Christ's strength alone that we can be victorious. Now we can read these books called Victorious Christian Living. But if you're not attached and you're not living, you're not communing with Christ, God Almighty, you will not have a victorious life. We can do all things. And most of us know this. We may even have it up in our house somewhere. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And that has to come through a vital union, a relationship. On another day, Peter was about to get some unexpected news and a special promise. Number 6, Peter's denial and restoration. Jesus pulls back the curtain to let Peter know that what's going to happen to him shortly. In Luke 22, verse 31 through 34, and then a little bit later I'll jump down to 54 through 62. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat." Boy, that's a sobering point. Here the Lord himself said, the devil's desired you. He mentions his name twice for the emphasis. He wants to sift you as wheat. That don't sound good. But listen to this in verse 32. This is Jesus speaking. He's saying, "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brother." Now, if we were writing that, we'd say, "Well, when you return to me, about a year of repentance, then we'll talk about you fellowshipping with us again." No, he says, "When you return, strengthen your brethren." And he said to him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death." And then he said, Jesus, he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day before you deny me 3 times that you know me." Sobering. Well, what a comfort it is to know that our Lord, who knows us, he knows all things, and he cares for his own. So much does he care for us. He died in our place as our substitute. Not one of his sheep, not one of his sheep would be lost. They'll all be saved. In the day of judgment, he'll not call a bunch of names and say, "Where are they? They're not here." No, they're all going to be there. If you are in Christ tonight and you profess faith in him alone, it is because, I believe this with all my heart, if you're in Christ tonight, it's because Christ prayed for you just like he did Peter. And I think you need only go to John 17 to the high priestly prayer. And I'll not read that tonight. You can do that on your own. That is what undergirded Peter and causes faith not to fail. Though Peter would fail on crucifixion morning, Peter would be restored. Why? Because the Lord prayed for him. You see, when the Lord prays, all his prayers are answered perfectly and just on time. Judas, on the other hand, he sinned just like Peter did, but he never found grace to repent because the Lord had not prayed for him. Sobering. Sobering. If you are in Christ, know this, that the Lord himself has prayed for you. What a tender mercy is he has lavished upon us, redeemed sinners, by God who loves to show his mercy. How many of the Psalms have we read here? So we read through the Psalms each Sunday morning as a part of our worship. How many of those Psalms talk about he's a God of mercy. He wants to show his mercy. Now, just as Jesus foretold, Peter's day of sifting, sure enough, it came. I'll read it. We pick up in verse 54. It was in chapter 22, verse 54 through 62. And having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard, and they sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "Oh, this man, he also was one of them." But he, being Peter, says, "Woman, I don't know him." And after that, a little while later, another saw him and said, "Ha, you are one of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And then after an hour had passed, and another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him," referring to Christ, "for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're saying." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord, oh, listen to this, if you can picture this. And the Lord turned, and he looked at Peter. And then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Now we know that was tears of repentance, not of remorse and suicide, like Judas. Well, this was Peter's dark night of the soul. But bless God, God gave him grace for repentance in God's perfect timing. God was about to use this, what would appear to be a defeated brother. This sore trial that Peter endures is by grace, and it's what prepared him for the boldness that he would display before the Sanhedrin and later in his public preaching on the day of Pentecost. Consider some other saints from the Hall of Failure. We want to think of the Hall of Fame. We think of the Hall of Failure, or the failures. Abraham. He lied to Abimelech about his wife being his half-sister. Yet God used him as a father of a great nation. Moses, in anger, struck the rock twice. God used him to lead God's children to the promised land. David, one of our favorite characters in the Old Testament. David's sin of adultery and murder. Boy, I should have took him off the church rolls real quick. Yet God used him. A man after God's own heart. And I think we can identify with him. We should identify with all of these. But we identify with this sinner man who also knew great grace. Elijah. Oh, the great man of faith. Yeah, but he was given to depression. But God used him. He used him just like he'll use him, you and I. What about Jonah? All the kids love that song or that story. Jonah ran from God in disobedience. Yet, bless God, God used him. Well, how did he use him? This failure of a guy that ran from God? He used him to bring revival to the great city of Nineveh. Never been able to figure out how many people were there, but it said it was 3 days' journey as they walked across Nineveh, big city. God used this man. Well, God Almighty used them all for his glory, and our Lord uses the likes of you and I here tonight for his glory. Listen to Christ's challenge to the restored Peter in ministry in John chapter 21. Verses 15 through 17, and note that this is post-resurrection. So when they had eaten breakfast, this is Jesus has already raised, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Well, feed my lambs." And he said to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Well, tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved at this point, and he said to him a third time, "You know, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Well, feed my sheep." What a picture of superabounding grace, the love of God. The Holy Spirit takes a weak sinner like Peter and makes him his under-shepherd to feed Christ's own sheep. It's his own family, the thing that Christ died for. He's going to trust this loser to feed his sheep? Yeah. Yeah, he does. Because this man was in Christ, and God greatly used him. Well, what a merciful God does when he restores a soul. And I think most of us here, if you've been in Christ very long, you know what it's like for your soul to be restored when tender mercies and the grace of God and the Word of God comes and tenderly ministers to us and restores our soul. Well, Peter was about to experience a very historical day in his life and the life of the church. Number 7. Peter preaching after the restoration. Our Lord prays for Peter and keeps him through this sore trial. Our Lord makes this fearful, cursing brother and restores him beyond all expectation. 50 days after Peter's denial of Christ, 3 times publicly, this same resurrected and reigning Christ mightily uses Peter on the day of Pentecost. In Acts 2:14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, he raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words." I'm sure there was somebody out there saying, "You've got to be kidding. This loser was just denying Christ 50 days ago and he's up there going to preach?" It's grace. Then on down in Acts 2, verses 36 through 39, Peter preaching on. Therefore, he says, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And Peter said to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, to all who are far off, and as many as the Lord will call." Oh, what a picture of grace is this. 7 weeks earlier, Peter was denying Christ. He was now given a place in grace to proclaim the everlasting gospel. Now, as God's preacher and apostle, Peter is calling those rebel sinners to repentance. He's called them to be baptized and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you know that some of those people in that very crowd, on that day, on Good Friday, Pilate came out and says, "Who do you want me to release, Jesus or Barabbas?" What did they say? They wanted Barabbas set free. They made a decision. They voted to have Christ crucified. I have to believe, we'll find out in heaven, but some of those very people that were there that day, and you and I would have probably been just like them, because we're rebels by nature, we would have voted for Christ to be crucified. But these men, it says, their heart, the Holy Spirit came through this imperfect vessel. Reading on, it says, "And with many other words, he," that is Peter, "testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized that day." How many of you think was added that day? Most of you know that. 3,000 was added that day. I think here in Brevard County, there's one church out on Mitten Road. I think their seating is 3,000. It's the largest auditorium in Brevard County. It says here 3,000 souls were added to them. That's in one day. And then pick up in verse 47, "And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Well, how does that happen? It's a great God using saved sinners. It's a great God using unworthy sinners. It's a great God using people like you and I. Well, let's briefly, and I'll close, some other distinguishing marks of Peter's ministry. It's a whole catalog, but there was many signs and wonders that he did. Peter and John healed the lame man right in the temple, and it's quite a story there. And Ananias and Sapphira, what'd they do? They lied to the Holy Spirit right in front of Peter, and God kills them. Peter's shadow fell on the sick, and God healed them. Never quite figured that one out, but God uses some interesting things, and he does things in various ways. There's not one set pattern. And then Peter, by God's grace, he healed a paralyzed man who had been in that condition for 8 years. He raised Tabitha from the dead. And we remember the story, the night, the angel. At the request of the believers, when they were asking, Peter was in prison. And they were praying, and the angel came and released Peter. And the people didn't believe it when he showed up at their door. God answered the prayer. And then we mentioned earlier that God used Peter to write 1 and 2 Peter and had influence on the Gospel of Mark. According to church history, Peter was, I think most of you know this, he was crucified upside down. Now, that's kind of odd. And the story, we don't have this backed up by Scripture, but history says it's when they were going to crucify him, he didn't want to be crucified in the same manner that Jesus. He said, I'm not worthy to be crucified in the same manner. And they crucified him upside down. This is right in the middle of Nero, one of the most wicked leaders historically, in 67 AD, we think, which would have been just before the fall of Jerusalem. I'm going to close with this one verse or text out of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. If you've encountered the living Lord Jesus Christ. And I say that over and over again is because I think that's why the churches are dead in our country. They're not attached to a living Lord. Listen, trust that this scripture will be precious and this will be our closing thought. Peter speaking. He said, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's when Christ comes for his own. Now he says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I love this. Whom having not seen, you love. Whom having not seen, you're loving. And though you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. As we think in this our own present distress, our own weakness and frailty, as we look at Peter, we realize the more we understand of him, he's like us. And by nature, we're losers and we were dead men. But oh, now we're children of God. We're rich. We're children of the King. All things have been given to us. Oh, Lord, as we face and engage this week, the uncertainty of this week, we think of health issues, financial issues, job, relationship issues, living in this country that's in a tumult. Oh, Lord Jesus, cause our faith to be all the more attached to you, the living God. Cause our relationship to you to be all the more real. Cause our prayers to be genuine. As we read these scriptures, may they come alive. Oh, Lord, strengthen our faith. What a great hope it is to see a man like Peter, who failed miserably and yet became, under your hand, such a blessing to the church, not only in his own generation, but down through the centuries. These stories are told, and they're very real, and it's repeated, saved sinner after saved sinner like us. So we thank you for your loving kindness. We ask you lavish your mercy upon us. Dismiss us in your loving kindness. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, go ahead and stand and take your hymnals again, and we will close with number 4.